I'd like to thank everyone for coming out this morning. For the past couple years, I've been working on soybean aphids at Iowa State University, primarily trying to figure out the plant's response to that injury. I'm going to start off with a quick review of the soybean aphid, scientific name Aphis glycines. It's a new invasive species to the United States. The damage is primarily caused due to assimilate removal. Like most phloem feeding insects, this results in a large amount of honeydew being deposited on the leaf surface, provides an excellent substrate for secondary pathogens such as sooty mold, and gives you that characteristic black colored leaf. The soybean aphid has also been shown to be a competent vector of many viruses, and these factors combined have resulted in 50% yield reductions in Iowa, and you can see it's a pretty significant economic cost, those sort of yield reductions. Soybean aphid's been in Iowa for a little while. We've been able to characterize some initial plant responses. In 2007, the initial plant response was published, and we found a 7% yield reduction per 10,000 cumulative aphid days. Cumulative aphid day could be thought of as the plant's exposure to the aphid itself. So if an aphid is on a plant for one day, that plant's going to experience a single aphid day. However, one of the limitations of this research, it was only conducted in wide rows, 76 centimeters or 30-inch row widths. And growers have continually had a higher adoption rate of the narrower row production, and we were beginning to get questions as to how predictive this model was for narrow row production. Some of the ways that narrow row widths could affect the plant's response: there could be indirect effects on the aphid itself or direct effects to the plant. The effects on the aphid would probably be through a modified canopy structure. We see the image on the lower right showing narrow row production versus wide row production, and you can see the pretty obvious differences in canopy. Some of the microclimatic differences due to that change in canopy structure, temperature and humidity. We know that those factors can have a pretty dramatic impact on reproductive rates and developmental times. Humidity would have a pretty large impact on entomopathogens, and also trivial movement of both predators and herbivores. So the aphid may be able to move plant to plant more easily, and the predators may be able to move from plant to plant more easily. We also have the direct impacts of sunlight, or resource competition, of sunlight, water, soil nutrients, and those things have been pretty well discussed in the literature, in the agronomic literature. So our null hypothesis in setting up this experiment was primarily to look at the interaction between row width and aphid exposure and row width and yield, the yield impact. To measure this, we set up a randomized complete block design with a split effect. The main effect was aphid injury level. The three injury levels we investigated was an untreated control, an aphid-free control, which received an insecticide anytime we detected any soybean aphids, so kind of a theoretically should be our highest possible yield, and an intermediate level at 250 aphids per plant. The split effect was the row width, and we investigated 76 centimeter rows compared to 24 centimeter rows, so 30 inches to 10 inches. We specifically put the row width at the split effect because in a split plot design, that's where you're going to accumulate the greatest amount of information with the split level. And this experiment was replicated over 2 years. Four to five locations across South Dakota and Iowa, and 4 to 6 blocks per year location, depending on available space for us. This figure is showing aphid exposure across the three treatments. Here we're seeing cumulative aphid days versus the untreated control, aphid-free, and then the 250 aphid per plant level. And we see equivalent levels of exposure for the 25 to the 76 centimeters in the untreated control, also in the aphid-free and the 250 aphid per plant level. When we take a look at the main effect, we see significant reduction in population from the untreated control to the aphid free, and the 250, and we also see another level of separation between the aphid free and the 250. So it turns out if you apply a lot of insecticides, you're going to kill insects. When we jump over to the yield, again, reported in bushels per acre across the three treatments. The split effect, this time we did have a slight difference where the narrow row soybeans had a slightly higher response to that aphid injury compared to the untreated or the aphid free and the 250 aphid per plant treatment. Oops. And when we look at the main effects, we see a large yield increase or large amount of yield protection going from that untreated to either the aphid free or the 250. And again, no difference in yield between those two treatments, which is pretty consistent with what we've been seeing in other experiments in past years. And also no interaction in this. On a regression comparison, this time we're showing the proportion maximum yield per 10,000 cumulative aphid days across the two row spacings. We see no difference in the model for these there's no statistical difference between these two models showing the regression. However, our regression, the 95% confidence interval around our model does not include the 2007 model. Hopefully I'll be able to address that just a little bit in the question section. Overall conclusions, we've got no interaction between yield and row width. Also, there's no interaction between the injury levels and row width, meaning that the current recommendations from the 2007 paper are sufficient for soybean aphid management. I'd like to acknowledge our funding sources, primarily the Iowa Soybean Association, Syngenta Crop Protection, grad students and undergrads that helped in the collection and analyzation of this data. And I'd like to entertain any questions now. Thank you. Yes? Oh, and a bushel is, a bushel is going to be around 60 pounds per bushel, and pounds per acre to kilograms per hectare is approximately, I think, 2.1, so 60 pounds, so 120, a little over 120 kilograms per hectare would be the difference on a single bushel. Oh, dollars? I'm not sure I can do that calculation in my head right away. Yeah, it should be. Probably around, if you can detect 2 bushel at the current cost, that's going to justify an insecticide application. The question was our plant populations kept constant? We attempted to. I think we had a slight variation. We had quite a bit of variability in the narrow row soybeans. Anyone familiar with drills realizes that you're going to lose some control. So we attempted to control for population. We did have quite a bit of variability in population, but that was part of the reason why we decided to focus on the interaction term rather than strictly the difference. That interaction was really going to tease apart that difference regardless of whether or not we were able to accurately maintain that population difference. Yes? Okay. Two questions. First, was there a difference in biomass? And we didn't measure that difference. The second was there a difference in plant structure? We collected data on plant structure. We haven't analyzed it yet, and that wasn't able to share it. This project's being continued for another year. My initial guess on that is that no, there's not. There's just such a tremendous amount of variability from plant to plant. I had expected there to be a pretty significant difference in plant architecture with the narrow row soybeans producing a much reduced branching compared to the wide row, but it doesn't look like it. There's just so much variability from plant to plant within a row that it looks like that difference is going to disappear when I actually analyze the data. And that could be a function of the variety I chose. Did not measure and did not look for disease. And again, that's part of the reason why we were focusing on that interaction term. As long as the disease levels are constant across those three treatments for the narrow row compared to the wide row, it should show up as a lack of an interaction.
Thank you.